Yeah.
That's wild.
Hey, Donnie.
Yeah, Tim.
I got a question for you. Tell me
All right.
if my thinking's right. I just can't get out of the 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And in a lot of ways, I think about this every morning. And I was thinking about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues with interpretation, prophecy. Interpretation of prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirit, faith, miracles, healing, those all deal with one individual, the individual task that's at hand, that you need information or you need power in order to go ahead and take care of a specific situation. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So speaking in tongues is like a Swiss Army knife then, because that's the only manifestation that does multiple things for an individual. It builds you up. It's perfect prayer. It's making intercession with the saints. It's going ahead and it's the physical evidence of the spiritual reality of the Spirit of God inside of you. I forget all the things it does for you, but I do go through those every morning, and when I drive to work every day, I just picture God in my passenger seat and me talking with him all the way to work, and he shows me things like that. And that's one of the things that he showed me. And I just wanted to make sure that I was thinking right on that.
Sure. Yeah. No, absolutely. It has multiple benefits, right?
But it's the only one
Profits.
that does out of all of them. All the other ones are specifically to the situation that you're in at that time, right?
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. It's just adds more awe to the whole deal, right? To the manifestations themselves,
My mind
how
went.
wonderful and how wonderful enabling they are for each of
Yeah.
us. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering, that same thing, how God always goes ahead and takes the most feeble or the most unlooking, five senses wise, most unuseless thing, or the least of all of it, and shows us that the least is the greatest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, the things that would appear to be least necessary are most vital. And that is certainly the viewpoint of speaking in tongues. Most people look at it as being, how could that be of any use, really? It's just been a nonsense. You don't even understand what you're saying. And yet how vital it is to our spiritual development and our prayer life, our relationship with God. And boy, yeah.
I think there's 19 benefits.
Yeah. I'm sure you could. Yeah, I think there were like 11 or something like that were initially taught to me, but then you could find more for certain. Well, how about us young people have some prayer time? See what's going to happen today, okay? It is, as they refer to on the church calendar, Palm Sunday. So, maybe we'll look at a little bit about that. Looking forward to next weekend, Resurrection Sunday, being together for those of us who can get together. And, all the rest of you are, able to join us, I trust. So, we're going to have a good time. So until then, let's pray and let's hear what God's got going on in our lives. All right. So Father, thank you for your wonderful love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to take care of each of us as we look to you and trust you. Thank you for your great mercy and favor in our lives. Thank you for the way you continue to uphold everything that you have accomplished by way of your Son, Jesus Christ, for each of us, that you continue to look upon us as you have made us, as your righteousness in Christ. And thankful, Father, for continuing to show us the benefits of that day by day in our lives as we focus our hearts and lives on that. Thank you, Father, for this time to be together, that it's a great time of joy and inspiration as we walk with you and share the things that you've been showing to us and doing for us. Thank you, Father, for continuing to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can know you greater, we can see your love greater in our lives and understand just how much you care for each of us. Thank you, Father, for the requests that we have placed before you. Thank you that you are at work providing those things and that we can view them as already done because we do believe you. Thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you for the signs, miracles, and wonders that follow us day by day that we can expect to see. Father, thank you that you continue to do your part, that you are always faithful, and we're grateful for that. Thank you for today and for the things that we have prepared for each of us. Thank you, Father, for that and for a great time together in the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone else like to pray? Go ahead.
I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for just calling us and looking at our hearts and realizing that we would be faithful sons and daughters to you and that you never gave up on us, that, you know, no matter what we went through or who we've hurt or who hurt us or whatever situation that we were in, that we were beyond hopelessness, that you guarded our hearts and took us into your bosom and nurtured us back to life by putting your Son, Jesus Christ, inside of us, by sending him first to go ahead and to be that payment in full for us and to give us the understanding to be able to walk in this perverse world as light and as your children and your heirs. So I just thank you, God, that for all of us, and I just thank you that you, no matter what individual needs it, are in this family, that you take care of every single one of them. And only you can do that. Nobody else can do that. And I just thank you, God, for the healings that need to be done, for the deliverance that need to be done, for the reconciliation to be done, that you are the one that we give great, that we give credit to, that it's not of works, lest any man should boast, that we just happen to be here and be on, you know, we're in for the ride and to enjoy being believers and to walk with you as faithful children in this day and time. So I just thank you, God, for, you know, your love abounding towards us all the time, and that we can reciprocate that love as best we can to be able to love you and to love your children with the love that you've given us to go ahead and love with. So I just thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
What else?
And Father, I also thank you for your great love and your goodness to us. Father, how merciful a God you are to us. And Father, just how you've blessed us with every benefit. Thank you so much today for Aunt Sue and blessing her. Father, she's just so positive and she's so looking forward to communion with us. And Father, thank you that, you just bless her as she begins to learn a little bit more about the broken body and shed blood. Thank you, Father, that we have the ministry of reconciliation, and we can reconcile people back to you. It's such an honor and a privilege, Father, to see people's eyes open and turn from darkness to light. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you, as Tim prayed, that you will heal each and every one of us right where we're at, and take care of not only physical issues, but mental issues, emotional issues, spiritual issues, financial issues. Father, you just cover it all, and you just do it all, as we just simply trust and believe the promises in your word. And Father, every promise that you've ever spoken is ours to claim, and that you will surely bring it to pass. And we just thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you so much for Donnie and Patty. Thank you for the great work that they do in your name and in your honor. Thank you that they've done it for so many years now. Father, not older than the coal stoves or whatever, but they've really been a presence for us, and we're so thankful and love them so much as you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, Kevin.
Hi. God bless you guys.
Hey, God bless you.
Just
stuck in there when I had my eyes closed.
Well, we just, in order to get on this, I have to look at my phone to have the numbers to get on the Zoom. Well, we're on another call, and it went longer, so I couldn't get my phone because it's coming through my phone, so I have to wait.
I'm glad you're with us. Glad you're with us. All right. Well, what's God been doing? Who has something they've got to share?
Well, everything went good with my great niece. She had her surgery, and she's at home, and she's doing just wonderful. And you can pray that the cancer never comes back and enter our life again.
His part, right? Guiding those doctors around.
Yes, sir. That was my prayer, because that's where their believing was. That's what my prayer was.
That's right. That's right. I remember you praying for that. And that's wonderful. God did his thing. He carried them along. You know, like that verse, where holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's how we got the scripture. It's the moving of God is to carry them along. He carried them along, didn't push them around, just carried them along. Here, I'll help you understand this. I'll help you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our God. He can do all things, right? So wonderful. That's great, Tim. Good news. All right. What else?
I'll share something.
Okay. Andrew, go ahead.
Well, I was, it's funny. I was sitting at, I've had like a week off from in between jobs. And that's funny how that came about too, because it's like I went in to work. I said I was going to accept the job. And then pretty much they posted my job before the lunch break. So they say, oh, yeah, you have pretty much 2 weeks from this point to, pack up all your stuff, get all your projects figured out. So I was like, oh, well, I could get mad about that, or I could say I have 2 weeks off between jobs. So I have 2 weeks off between jobs. But it was something, because I went in for a drug screening and background check and everything and passed that. But in between there, there's just so much stuff going on just to distract me from disbelieving God. And it's so funny, even when I know it was a sure thing, like, passing a background check and passing a drug screening is no big deal for me. Even when I know it's a sure thing, there's still these little darts that get flung at you. There's still this little bit of doubt So I was sitting, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday, I was working on my house and I took a break and I was sitting in the car eating lunch. I was like, well, okay, God, well, I don't know. I'm just going to apply for like Mars. I'm just going to apply for Mars and everything. And I was praying and God was like, go ahead and do that. But as soon as you're done doing that, you're going to feel really dumb. That's exactly what God told me to do. That's exactly what God told me. So I did it. As soon as I was done doing that, I got a call from HR for Goodyear, and they said, hey, Andrew, you passed your background check, you passed your drug screening. I'm just calling you to ask what, you know, what your start date is going to be. And it was like, oh, well, I'm going out of town next week, so I'll be back. I'll be back next weekend, so probably April 1st would be a good start date. They're like, April 1st, perfect. We'll send you an email on how to dress and what to expect on your first day. See you then. Thank you for being, or welcome to the Goodyear team. That's exactly what they said. I felt like the biggest idiot in the world. I just sat back and, in my own hubris, I doubted God. I doubted his ability. I doubted what he can do. It's not like physically and here I wasn't qualified for the job. But even in that, there's tons of people more qualified for the job than I am. But God saw to it that I got this job. And it just kind of reminds me of this Bible verse. It's, what is it? Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It's like, you know, that sin is that doubt of God, what God said, what God wants for you. Whenever we believe our natural circumstances and don't believe what God says, that's being in that doubt. That's being in that sin. And that was just me believing the natural circumstances of what my brain, what this ball of fat could comprehend because of my past circumstances and my past whatever, or the synopsis that forms in my brain, and the electricity goes a certain way, and I just think a certain thing. But we're supposed to cast down all those imaginations. Every high thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And in that moment, I wasn't doing that. I was leaning towards my own understanding. So it's like, man, God already has the answer. He already has it coming. That guy was planning on calling me before I had that thought to freaking fill out another application. And everything was all taken care of. And I got 2 weeks off, and I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. You know? It's an awesome life, and it's an awesome privilege to walk as sons and daughters of God. And that's what we have to remember, that it's not based on our five senses. It's based off what God says. Because when he shut the door for Noah, that door was shut. When he told Jesus Christ to say, it is finished, it was truly finished. And when we're seated at the right hand of God, when he says that we're seated at the right hand of God, that's how sure our salvation is. That we're seated in the heavenlies. So, I love you guys. You guys are wonderful. This is really a great walk. We just need to throw our shoulders back and walk out on it. It is so powerful. I never thought in a million years I'd be in the position I am now. So, yep. Love you guys.
That's great, Andrew. Wonderful. Praise God. God's working.
Praise God.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Who else?
Isn't it neat where the word talks about four places in the Gospels? Oh, ye a little faith. All we have to have is a little bit. And then God will surround us with everything we need to see that result come. Like he told you, Andrew, you know, you go ahead and do it, but you'll be embarrassed. I mean, he just worked in your heart. In other words, I've got this covered. You're still, you got the faith. Don't worry. And part of the growth in our lives is that we just, it takes time to get comfortable with how much God does care for us and watch for us. But if we have a little faith, says we can remove mountains. And if, you know, it's not just our own believing, then God's going to surround us with all the people that'll build it up so we see come to pass what God knows will. Thank you for sharing that, brother.
No problem, man.
Kevin, thank you. Who else?
I have something just quickly.
Yeah, Charlie.
Some of you may not know that my lovely bride dumped me and went to Tokyo with one of my daughters to visit the one that's still living in Tokyo. And I've been scraping by on ramen noodles and Vienna sausages. But anyway, I sent a couple of you some pictures that she sent me, including a video of her in samurai gear murdering a rather large piece of bamboo with a samurai sword. So here I am, managing to walk with God. So I just wanted to pass that along. Donnie and Patty got a couple pictures I sent.
I didn't get any pictures.
You didn't?
No. Well, did you get them?
I haven't noticed any.
I got them, Charlie.
Yeah, I sent them to Andrew. Andrew got them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll get them. And I'm glad God's taking care of you, Charlie. We wouldn't know what to do without you, brother.
Okay. All right, I see the pictures now.
Okay.
So, all right.
Cool. All right, thank you.
Karen. Karen is the Shogun.
Look.
Yeah.
So, is she going to be back by next week to come for Resurrection Sunday?
Absolutely. She comes back on Saturday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so we get, are you guys coming? You guys going to come
yeah.
up?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, good. Hey.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're really looking forward to having everybody here, whoever can be, you know. So, and then, of course, we will have the Zoom set up, you know. So if you can't make it and you have time to share with us, so we'd love to have you join us. Kurt, of course, we know you'll be there. Yes? Am I assuming?
Correctly? No, that's correct. God bless you.
And I know Robbie will probably join us for a little while anyway, until he gets too sleepy. So.
I'll be in touch.
All right. Anyone else have anything?
Well, we had a good week. And actually had cataract surgery on Wednesday, and everything went well there. You know, again, we pray for the doctors to do what's right and get the knowledge of anything they need to know. And, but anyways, that went real well. And, you know, she's, eyes, you know, healing up now and everything. And, had a, I've been going to the shop with her, cause she's not supposed to lift things and stuff like that. And met some interesting people at the shop. There was one, I'm thinking about a couple that was moving here from Florida, and they're having a hard time so far with closing on the house that they're moving into. But supposedly they're going to close this next Friday. They came in yesterday to pick up a few pieces of furniture that they had bought, and got a chance to meet the wife at first, and she started talking about how God's got their back, and it's always nice to hear people that trust in God and trust in His ability to take care of things. And we had a nice conversation, but her, it turns out, her husband was, he was down, he's like, hadn't had the closing yet when we were supposed to have it. And, Ann said it was supposed to be about 3 weeks ago. I guess they're staying in a hotel up there in Jasper, and he actually met somebody this past week that was staying in the hotel too, that they had actually lost their house and they're staying in the hotel because of a fire. And I think it, kind of helped him. It's like, okay, I'm not as bad off as you are, and he actually asked the guy if I think his wife has told me this, but asked the guy if he could pray with him. And I'm sure that probably helped his, his own believing because of that. But, anyways, that it was, and talking to the husband, he's like, oh yeah, it's going to happen. We're closing this week. And so his believing is actually, it's there, and so, and I prayed about it, to that it will happen, but, the things that we encounter that help us believe, and it's always a blessing to encounter other people who actually do believe in God's ability to take care of things. And that was nice. I just caught this a little bit on the TV this morning of one of those mega church preachers, and he was talking about how we're supposed to count it all joy when we fall into different trials, And his answer was, because if you don't, you lose your joy and you lose your strength. And he didn't mention anything about, that we trust God to take care of things for us. And that's why we can be joyous. And I was like, oh man, you're just missing the point. I think about that, it's just like, okay, we got an issue, got to take care of it. I was like, all right, God, thank you for taking care of this, And, that's pretty joyful. But, it's just been a good week and being blessed by God. So we're thankful for that.
Great, man. Yep. We always have things to be thankful for, don't we? Always. God's always working. He's always there for us. So, wonderful. Anyone else have anything?
Well, I'll just share real quickly.
Okay.
We had a nice long conversation yesterday with Kathy. It was wonderful. We caught up on lots of things. And, we kind of always go deep. We well, what about this and why that? And I should always know that I need to have a pen and paper ready to write when I'm going to talk to Kathy and saddle in because we're going to be there for a minute. So, but I thought I woke up this morning thinking about Romans 8:11, and I'm going to read it to you and talk about it. And I just think it kind of encapsulates all of what we are with God in Christ in us and our capabilities and our inherent power. It says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, well, does he? Yes, uh-huh. He does dwell in us. If he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And all those words are really cool words, what they mean. The dwelleth in, it's the Greek word en oikeo, which means to reside in, to saturate, to permeate every single cell in your body with that potential power, that dunamis type power. You have that capability. And if you just think about it logically, you think about, okay, if this power dwells in me, if it lives in me truly and resides in every cell of my body, it's the same power that got Jesus Christ up from the dead. If it dwells in me, it's going to make me alive and quicken and heal me on every level too. And, you know, thinking about Resurrection Sunday and the events in the final week of Jesus Christ's life and all that it means to us is so huge. It's almost like it'll take a lifetime for us to really absorb the greatness of it. And even then we won't know until, you know, Christ gets us out of here and we'll know even as we're known, right? But I was just thinking about that power that dwells in us, that lives in us, that saturates, permeates every single cell of your body. And to activate it, all you do is just believe God. Just like Kevin said, a little faith. We have a little faith, right? You know, we operate that which God has given us and trust him and expect him to do what he says he's going to do. You know, that's interesting what you shared, Matt, about diverse, you know, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. It's in James chapter 1 where it goes on to talk about all those things with he's tossed to and fro. Isn't that the same place? Driven with the wind and tossed. And, you know, he's all over the place. The person who is double-minded. You know, so we count it all joy because we're super conquerors, right? So anyway, God in Christ in us, big deal. He's going to quicken our mortal bodies, make them alive and vibrant no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it seems impossible, but God is the God of the impossible. So that's it. That's all that I wanted to share because we can never give up. Just never stop. Never stop believing, like that song that Lorian mentioned last week.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yep. We don't quit. We don't quit. God doesn't quit, so we don't quit. Lorian sends her love, by the way. She's with family doing what Tom used to love doing, which was fish. Go fishing.
Aww.
They're fishing today.
Aww.
So she sends her love. You know, this is a time that, it's as great a time as any other time. Every day is a great day to walk with God. Every day is a great day to be together as the sons and daughters of God and encourage one another and remind one another that God is real, that God is awesome, that God is our Father, and that he can do the impossible for us. And, you know, not that we elevate one day over another. You know, we're not observers of times, of days, of, you know, the calendar, you know, the phases of the moon, or whatever. You know, we don't observe that. The one great thing that we observe is that we have been born again of God's Spirit, and we are now bound for eternity, that we have eternal life, and that we have a Father now who takes care of us and provides for us in every way. And it's all because of God's design, of God's plan, and how he fulfilled that plan, you know, so that we could be redeemed. We could be bought back from the adversary and placed within the family of God for all eternity. You know, so we have so much to be thankful for, the little things that God does for us day by day, the big things that he does, you know, and just the privilege that we have to walk with God and have a relationship with him, have an open and honest relationship with God, right? Just like Adam and Eve had at the very beginning before they blew it. Before they had to run and hide, you know, or try to run and hide. You know, just a free, open communication with our Heavenly Father. You know, this is what we have every day, you know. And we take advantage of that because of the things that Jesus Christ did for us. You know, and this is the time of year that people, you know, around the world are focused on it. They can't help but hear about it, you know. It's come a long way, you know, since the days that Jesus Christ walked on this planet, those days in the final, you know, week of his life when he did so many, many wonderful things to fulfill all the prophecies that were spoken of him from centuries before by men of God who had been carried along by God and inspired to write, you know, the greatness of these prophecies, the greatness of the promises of God fulfilled, you know, and we now enjoy these things on the back end, and we have so much to be looking forward to, not only, you know, day by day as God continues to work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, but the things that we have in store when he does send his son back and gather us together and begin to fulfill every jot and every tittle of that which he said he would do. And this is, you know, so many times we go to those records that Jesus Christ spoke of in this week. You know, there's so much in the last week of Jesus Christ's life that the Gospels focus on. I think it's like 60% of the Gospel record is focused on the last week and a half, 2 weeks of Jesus Christ's life. He did a lot more things, right? And there's a lot of information in the Gospels. But when you start to look at just the time frame of the last week of his life, or the last couple of weeks, you see a voluminous amount of the Gospel record is dedicated to that because of its importance to us, right? To us. To those that would come after, those that would come to the point of believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and get us to that point, right? What is the gospel for? The gospel is to declare him as Messiah, Jesus as the Son of God, the King, the Servant, and the Man. That's what the gospel record is focused on. Right. So when we recognize him first as a man who did mighty things, we see him also as the Son of God, which is what enabled him to do those mighty things. We see him as the servant of God that walked before his God, who was his Father, as a servant in his heart. Only your will I want to do, Father, only your will. And because of these things, he is the King eternal. He is the King eternal. He is the King, the eternal King. So this is the emphasis of the gospel record. And when people see him for who he really is and was, they can believe and they can receive now the things that are ours in this administration of grace. which fulfills that one promise, that one secret that God held within his own heart and told no one, that the Gentiles would be part of this blessing. It's amazing when you really see the full scope of what the scriptures declare. You know, we can't understand all of it, of course, but we can see the full scope. We can see the full picture. You know, this is the time that Jesus Christ in these days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that he gave that great teaching about removing the mountain. After he had come into Jerusalem for the second time, actually he came in twice, right? Palm Sunday, we know. I mean, if you look at the scriptural record, you see Mark, Luke, and John speaking of his first entry, and then Matthew speaking of his second entry. Details, when you piece them all together, we know this, we've been taught this. You know, some of us haven't been taught it, but you know, it eliminates all of the apparent contradictions when we recognize that, hey, we got to put it all together and then we see the whole picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus Christ came, made that entry into Jerusalem, and the people of the villages surrounding Jerusalem took their clothes and put them down on the pathway that he was riding these animals on, and put palm trees to honor him, to in their hearts show him that he was special to them. He was their king. Some said he's the prophet of the day. They didn't really know the fullness of who he was and what he would fulfill. But they knew he was special. Some of them they knew he was special just because they had heard that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And so they knew there was something special about this man. And so they gave him honor by taking their clothes and palm branches and making his way soft and nice, dust free. It would just hold the dust down so he could come in. And when he came into Jerusalem, he did two things. He judged Israel as a nation, and he also came and blessed those who still honored God in their heart, in spite of the rejection that Israel as a nation had shown him. So there's a lot to it, but through it all, he continues to teach great things to those who really understood who he was. And that one record of the fig tree that he did, actually two times he cursed the fig tree. Two times. On the first entry, he cursed it. They came back the next day and saw that it was withered. And then on the next day when he came, he cursed another fig tree, and it withered immediately before their eyes. The thing that he emphasized with that event, with that establishment of that event, which really represented a judgment toward Israel of their rejection of him as king, as Messiah, as God's provision for all of their concerns, all of their needs, all of their wants. God had given them the Messiah. He was there in their midst. And they rejected him. And so overall, Israel now as a nation would be fruitless. Absolutely fruitless when it comes to spiritual realities and their spiritual calling to be the representatives of the true God for the entire world. They had rejected it. So much like the kingdom was rent from Saul and given to another, so the things of God were taken from Israel and given to another. And that is fulfilled when the full revelation of the mystery is revealed. But what does he do during that time? He continues to teach. He teaches them with that example of the fig tree. Look, you just believe God. If you say it, it will happen. You continue to walk with God. You haven't rejected me. So you continue to walk with God. And when you pray, believe that the things which you pray for are done. And you'll have them. You will have them. It's in Matthew that I wanted to read a little bit in Matthew. Because it gives the twofold thing. First, you know, when you look at these records, they're really wonderful. They're absorbing. When you get into them, you just get sucked in it with every detail, because every detail is so valuable to see and understand. And every time I go back to these records, and I do that just out of my own tradition for this time of year, I go back to these records and I read them. I read them over and over again because there's so much there. And every time I go there, I learn more, I see more, I understand more. God continues to open the eyes of our understanding. And he continues to. He doesn't teach us anything new. He just brings us, he brings us to a deeper understanding of the value of it all to us. You know, he goes in, he in judgment, see, there's records in the Old Testament. The tradition was that when a king entered in to the city to judge, he would come on a single animal, single donkey, colt. And it's colt, he would come with the colt, it would represent him coming to bless. See, first, his first entry, Jesus Christ came and he pronounced the judgment over Israel for rejecting God's provision himself. We could look at that. Let's just look, read those kind of verses. Those are kind of fun. Just look at Mark 11. I think it's in there. This judgment against Israel. Yeah, verse 12 says, on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, seeing the fig tree afar off. This was this first entry. Yeah. He comes, he doesn't find anything, and he says to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever, in verse 14. And his disciples heard it. They heard that. They were come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrow the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, because they had corrupted the things that God had provided for them. Suffer any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, saying unto them, this is what's written, and this is what is now fulfilled. My house shall be called the house of all nations, the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. You're just corrupt. You're just here for the money, not for the things of God. And so this judgment was basically pronounced. If you look, you know, its judgment is pronounced by the cursing of the fig tree. But then also in, if you look at Luke 19, in verse 41, he says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, at least by now, if you'd have known the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation, or thy this inspection. When Messiah came to at this final time to come and view where Israel as a nation was at, he found them hard-hearted. He found them, in spite of all of the miracles and the wonders that Jesus Christ had done, he found them still rejecting him. And so he pronounces the judgment over the nation. You know, why is there no nation of Israel? You can say what you want about Israel now, but without the blessing of God, it's going nowhere. It's going nowhere. And there's a time in the future when God will restore all things and fulfill all promises that he has made to Israel, but that is not today. And then he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein and that bought. He cleanses the temple because now it's part of the preparation for the Passover. All things must be made right so that the Passover feast can be performed and the benefits of it for Israel can be received. And of course, this is the Passover of all time. The one and the final Passover that accomplished everything that every Passover previously had pointed toward. That Messiah would be the Passover lamb. That he would be the one to cleanse all sin and redeem all those that believe. After these times, come back. You can come back to Matthew. After he cleans out the temple area of those that sold and the money changers, it says back in Matthew 21, after he says, you know, this is what's written, verse 13, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. And then verse 14 is this wonderful verse that in spite of Israel as a nation rejecting the Messiah, God still sees to it that those who are looking to him and those who are trusting in him are made whole again, are blessed. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. One simple verse that says so much about the love of God, so much about the grace of God, the mercy of God. And all of the things that God had promised, he is still making available to those who trust him and trust in who he has sent to them, right? The Christ. This is Messiah. This is the one who will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the one to whom David's kingdom is passed on to and will be forever established forever. And those that knew that in their heart came to him in the temple and he healed them. He healed them. And it's the same truth today. When we come to God by way of his Son, Jesus Christ, when we claim the things that Jesus Christ was sent to provide for us, to fulfill for us, God heals us. God delivers us. Because that's what he wants to do. That's what God wants to do. He did not say, here, fill out this questionnaire first before I heal you. I want to know where you've been, what you've been doing. I want to know the last time you were at synagogue. When was the last time you were at a feast? When was the last time you decorated your eggs? Oh, wait a minute. No, he didn't ask him that. No, he did not. Those that came to him, he healed them. That's the king with his blessings to his people. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. How much evil can reside in the heart of a man to come to that point? I don't know. To see wonderful things being done and to have a reaction of displeasure, to have a reaction of hate. And they said unto him, verse 16, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, yeah, haven't you read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. These were not people who knew in detail the things of God like the priests, the Levites would have, the priests and the rabbis of the day. They didn't know the details. They just saw the grace. They saw the mercy in very real ways, by people being healed, by the blind seeing, by the deaf being able to hear, by the lepers being cleansed, by the broken being made whole. That's what they saw. They didn't see the candles being lit at the right time. They didn't see the sacrifices being offered in the proper manner. They didn't see the ritual of cleansing that the Levites had to go through before offering sacrifices. They didn't see any of that. But they saw the result of God's mercy, God's love, because they believed him. Such a wonderful, wonderful record of reality. Then the next day he comes back. See, this would have been Saturday. Then the next day he comes back, this Sunday. Now in the morning, verse 18 says, he returned into the city. He hungered. He curses another fig tree. And verse 19 says, and presently, immediately, the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, what the heck? That was fast. Look at how quickly the fig tree withered away. And he said unto them, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do to this which was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believe it. Believing it, you shall receive it. What great encouragement. See, in spite of that tragic judgment that he pronounced over Israel as a nation and how they would be utterly destroyed and the kingdom would be taken from them, he still continues to encourage them. See, this is not, the heart of God is not to focus on hellfire and brimstone. The heart of God is always to focus on his goodness and what he has for them that continue to believe. He had nothing but great encouragement for them that believed. Verse, this section here is wonderful also. Verse 23, it says, when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders and people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing this? Who gave you this authority? See, they were so wrapped up in, you know, who authorized this? Who authorized you to heal all those people? Just yesterday, you healed all these people. All these people are talking about everybody been healed. Oh, the Lord healed me. The Master, Jesus of Nazareth, he healed me. He delivered me. Just Bert cursed the fig tree. Who authorized that? Certainly not us. Certainly not the high priest. You know, don't need the high priest's authorization. All we need is God's authorization. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay, well, I'll ask you something, and if you tell me the answer, then I'll tell you my answer. By what authority? Said, so the baptism of John, verse 25, whence was it? Where did it come from? Who originated that puppy? Who thought that one up? Was it from heaven? Or did John just make it up? Was it of men? Right? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say unto us, and why didn't you believe him? Because they didn't believe him. They had him beheaded. And if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. We don't, because we didn't authorize his little ministry of water baptism thing. And they answered Jesus and said, well, we can't tell you. I can neither affirm nor deny. And he said unto them, well, then I'm not going to confirm or deny either my authority. How's that sound? But what think ye? Then he begins to tell them parables. These parables, they're so confronting to them. Well, so what do you think? Verse 28. A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then afterwards he repented. He thought about it a minute. He said, okay, he went. He went and did it. And he came to the second and said, likewise. He answered and said, yes, sir, I'm going. I'm on my way. And he went not. So which of the two, verse 31, did the will of his father? And they said unto him, well, that's easy, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.
Ouch.
It's a pretty nice little parable to emphasize one thing. You think you have all the blessings, but you don't, because you don't. You just say you're going to do it and don't. And John, for here's the point. Here's the point of the parable. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and you, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him and enter into the blessings. Right? So just in case you didn't get that, here's another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it. Ooh, he made it nice. And built a tower, and let it out to a husbandman, and went into a far country. So the householder, the landowner, the big wealthy dude, he sets this whole thing up, right? And he hires it out. He just hires someone to take care of it. He hires it out to the husbandman and went out to a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, He sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took the servants and beat one, killed the other, stoned another. They didn't want to have anything to do with the servants of the householder. And again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, well, they will surely reverence my son. They will have respect for my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him. And let us seize on his inheritance. We're going to take it all. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard come, what do you think he'll do to those husbandmen? What should he do to those husbandmen? And of course, they said unto him, right? All these scribes and dudes of authority said unto him, well, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall rend him the fruits in their season. He'll make it profitable for him. These good, he will get good husbandmen. And Jesus said unto them, did you ever read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, he said unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What a prophecy. And it reflects back. He brings them back to a psalm of David. When David is rejoicing over God's blessing him and giving him the kingdom. It speaks of David specifically, but it points toward the Messiah. David was rejected. They chose Saul instead, even though David was God's choice. And God ultimately brought David into authority and into his reign because he was a man after God's heart. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man after God's heart. So these prophecies that point toward what Jesus Christ would fulfill are now being revealed. Now being revealed. The kingdom will be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You know the original calling, what God called Israel out for, was to represent the true God among all of the nations of the world, amongst all the idolatry, all the false gods out there. There was one true God who needed to establish himself and prove himself and manifest himself by way of his people. He chose Israel to do it. He called Israel out. You will be my people. And when you walk with me, when you follow me, when you obey my commandments, one of you will chase 1,000 of your enemies. Not one of you will be hurt. Not one of you will fall when you walk with me. And I will prove who I am, not only to you, but to the world, to all of your enemies. This was Israel's purpose, was to represent the true God in a corrupt world. That was their kingdom. And when they walked with God, they did mighty things. when they rejected God, God pulled the rug out from them, so to speak. By rejecting his Messiah, he took their kingdom responsibilities away. And who did he give it to? He gave it to the publicans and harlots. He gave it to those that were outside of the initial covenant and promise of God. He gave it to the Gentiles. By way of the great mystery, the fulfillment of the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. He gave the responsibilities of making the true God known to the church of the body. It's just remarkable, the parallels. And people look at these things and say, oh, well, you know, it's just, just men's ideas. And yet he fulfilled so many things, so many details, right? Then he says in verse 14, whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Who's the stone? Who's the stone that is rejected by the builders and now become the chief cornerstone? It's Christ, the Lord. Jesus Christ. Upon which the church will be built. And in the future, whosoever falls on this stone shall be broken. Who stumbled at the stone? The nation of Israel. Overall, the nation. Those that should have understood who he was and that God had sent him, rejected him. If anyone should have known who he was by their knowledge of the scripture, it should have been the scribes and Pharisees. It should have been the Levites, the priests. They should have known. And yet they rejected him. And so because of that rejection, they're broken. They stumbled at him. They fell on that stone and were broken as a nation. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind to powder. Speaking of future. Speaking of a future event when all of the Gentile world powers are crushed beneath the King of Kings, who is the chief of the corner. When the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, received that he spoke of them, but they still didn't change. And fortunately, Jesus Christ continued to fulfill all that God had called him to fulfill and designed and planned for him to fulfill so that we could be where we are today. We could be seated in the heavenlies alongside our Christ. We could be the recipients of wholeness in every way in our lives as we come to him. We continue to receive the healing that's available. We continue to receive that privilege and authority of representing the true God who has called us to walk with him. He's called us to represent him. He's called us to be his ambassadors of Christ to a world who doesn't know anything but what they see by their senses. We can show them the power by demonstrating the love, the grace, the mercy of God by way of signs, miracles, and wonders. People will stumble at that, just like they stumbled at him. But there will be those that come with great faith and receive great miracles, great signs, great wonders, because God continues to do what God has always done. be merciful, be gracious, and be the God of the impossible. So, I love that stuff.
Wow.
I think it's such a joy to see the reality of what Jesus Christ did and walk away with a greater conviction of who we are in Christ and what God has done for us.
Mm.
Every time I go to the scripture and read these records of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did and what he prophesies of that will surely come to pass, I come away with a heck of a lot more than just a piece of a palm branch. I come away with an awe for my God and a love for my Savior. So, Father, thanks for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to work mightily within each of us to know who you are, to know who you have called us to be, that we may know you, that we may know the power of the resurrection and what it means to each of us, that we may know the fulfilling of all those things that Jesus Christ did so that we could reap the benefits. Thanks, Father, for continuing to show us that. Thank you for continuing to be there for us on every turn. Regardless of what we request of you, Father, we know that you have the ability to do it for us. So thank you for continuing to be faithful to your promises, faithful to all that your Son Jesus Christ accomplished for each of us, so that we can live a more than abundant life in every way as we wait for him to come back and finish this whole deal. Thank you for these things, and thank you for the proof that we have residing within us, that all these things are true, that all these things are what we know them to be. Thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Someone speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy, please.
I truly am the Lord thy God, and yea, I love you with all my whole heart. It burns for you. It burns for me to go ahead and do things for you. So ask me. Don't be proud. Don't be shy. Don't be fearful, for I, Lord thy God, have only blessings for you. So continually walk and talk with me, and I will give you the answers that you need in order to walk in this day and time, because it is perverse. And yea, you are truly the lights of the world. So walk as lights, and know who you are as a son of God, and be at peace. For I truly have given you all things for you to be a conqueror.
Thus venerable Baba Nyako, Neroto Baba Olatabaski, Mansoto Fabalaki Berebus Onthra Fabase, Onchileka Berebus Vata, Las Machetabo Toto, Vale Kimba Tabasita, La Tra 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 Tra. Truly, my children, it is all about you. Simply put, my great love for you has covered everything and has provided everything for you. For you are my children. And yea, as you respect me, as you have great awe for me, I will reveal unto you my nature. I will reveal unto you my power. I will reveal unto you my mercy, my grace, my tenderness, my love, my deep compassion for you and my sons. So this is what it's all about, to come to me and to know me and to grow in that relationship with me. And surely as you do, as you put me first and want and desire and burn to know me, I burn to know you, and your life will be full and blessed.
Anyone else?
Hearken diligently unto me, children, for I am the Lord your God, and I do tenderly whisper gently into your ears each and every moment of your life as you just trust me. I want you to talk and walk with me. I want you to seek me on every hand for everything, knowing that I shall accomplish what I've promised that I will do for you. I want you to be healed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be powerful and prosperous and victorious. So stand tall. Don't be afraid. Don't look to the left or the right, to the right at the distractions that the adversary would throw you. Don't stumble at things beneath you. Know that you shall crush the adversary under your feet with every step that you take upon my word. So rejoice in this victory today and forever, my children, knowing that I have all things handled and taken care of for you. For truly I am your tender, loving Heavenly Father who has given his Son for you that you might be victorious and rejoice and be healed and be joyous.
And know that this is your day and time, for I, God, have set my word, and I've watched it develop in your lives. So continue it as you have already said, and walk out with it, and see the greatness of who you are that I have set you to be, and keep me involved in your life. For I, God, am at work within you. I will, and do of my good pleasure in your lives, and others will see me and understand that there is a living God in this day and time. That word is still alive in this day and time, and that there's deliverance in this day and time if the world will just look at me.
All right. Amen. Awesome. Well, we will continue to look to God, right? Amen. That's wonderful. All right. That's great, you guys.